What's up, Lauren? How's it going?
Hey, how are you? I'm pretty good.
Really excited to have this space. Waiting on Svetsky to join. If you can, it'd be great if you shared the tweet linking to your article to the top here.
Sure. Let me do that 1 second.
So while we wait for Svetsky and while Lauren is pinning her article to the top, I just want to really briefly introduce this space. Both Lauren and Svetsky wrote articles about how Bitcoin and Satoshi Nakamoto and this, I guess, freedom fight that we're fighting all ties into the story of V for Vendetta and the 5th of November. So wanted to get on a space with both of them to discuss. So really exciting stuff. I'm really excited for this conversation. It's going to be a short one, just 1 hour, but it should be action-packed. Before we get into it, though, want to tell you guys about the Bitcoin conference and Bitcoin 2022. Svetsky just sponsored in a big way with Amber, so that's super freaking exciting. And Amber is doing some really great things, but Bitcoin 2022 is the ultimate Bitcoiner gathering in Miami next year, April 6th through the 9th, 4-day event, Bitcoin only. And on the last day, we're going to be having a Bitcoin music festival. Your GA ticket gets you into all of that good stuff. We also have a lot of awesome VIP experiences as well. So go to b.tc, check out the site, and go to Bitcoin 2022. You will not regret it. Svetsky, welcome to the chat. How's it going, my man?
Yo, what's up, buddy? I heard you say it's going to be an hour conversation. Why the hell did you invite me? I can't stay for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I'm going to try to rein you in and make sure Lauren has a shot to talk too.
Wait, I actually did a short article. Can you believe that shit? What the fuck?
Yep.
That's
Hey,
the
let's just jump right into it. Maybe Lauren, I want to give both of you an opportunity to talk about your articles. Lauren, maybe you want to start us off
Yeah, ladies
and
first.
talk about your article, and then Svetsky, you can follow up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I started doing threads on Twitter about comparing films to Bitcoin. And I thought it was, and I work in film and I'm really passionate about film, but I'm also really passionate about Bitcoin. So I thought it would be just something fun and lighthearted and a different comparison to Bitcoin and the value of Bitcoin. The first one I did was on The Matrix. And then I think V for Vendetta was my second one. But it was just something fun and a different way. I think right now Bitcoin is in a big narrative battle. And I know there's are films out there being made that are not being made by Bitcoiners and people who genuinely want to put the right narrative out there, just more for profit. I think this is another good way. I think Bitcoin Twitter is awesome, but it's only going to reach a certain audience. I think we need to look into other mediums to tell our narrative. So I thought this would be something fun. I basically wrote the article talking a little bit about the background of how the film was made. It was based on a book that was a little bit more graphic than the novel. They changed the film to be a little bit more about freedom versus being an anarchism. And also another difference between the book and the film was that they incorporated a lot more influences than just the book. And I know a big influence was George Orwell's 1984. So again, it was a big influence on just individual liberty versus state control. And that's the basis. It started off with just background history of the film and then getting into some different points. And I took quotes from the film. And after each quote, I just dissected it and analyzed it a little bit in a sense. And I compared V to Satoshi and his fight for freedom and what the problem was and why he started to engage on this battle and how us as Bitcoiners have this responsibility to engage in the network. And at the end, if any of you, I don't know if everyone's seen V for Vendetta, but V is never unmasked. And we know Satoshi is never unmasked, which I think has great symbolism in that we are the ones carrying on Bitcoin. It's all of us. V is us. Satoshi is us. And this is a movement. And so I just, it was fun. It was lighthearted. And that's the direction I went with it. So yeah, I guess that's a short overview.
Cool. No, I think that was a great overview. Anyone who hasn't read it, it's pinned to the top. Alex, I guess I want to give you a chance to react to Lauren's article, and then maybe you can jump into your own.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to read Lauren's. I've been jumping between conferences and stuff, so Lauren, don't hate me. But I think, I don't know, like, I don't have enough context to really comment
All right, let's
on
jump into
that.
your article. It definitely had a different tone, but very much the same ethos.
Yeah, my tone is always similar across the board. And what I wanted to do this time was just something short, sweet, and a reminder as to why we're here in the first place. And what actually inspired it was the TabConf speaking gig that I had to do. So what's his name? Mike Tidwell invited me. He was like, hey, do you want to open the conference? And I was like, yeah, fuck it. Sure, let's do it. And I was trying to think of what should I speak about. And I looked at the date. I thought, oh, shit, it's 5th of November. And I have watched V for Vendetta maybe 20, 30, maybe even 40 times. Like my favorite movies are basically V for Vendetta, Braveheart, The Matrix, Fight Club, The Last Samurai, Legends of the Fall, like kind of that era there. I call the golden era of film like 1995 to 2005. That's like peak film, peak meaning, peak like quality, peak everything. And yeah, I noticed the 5th of November and I said to Diddle, I said, look, I know this is more of a technical conference, but I said, I'm not going to really add much value to the conference from a technical standpoint. Where I can add some value is to remind everyone why we're here. And it was just, I sat down. Actually, no, I didn't sit down. I was in Dominican Republic with my girlfriend and she was coughing. Poor thing had pneumonia and she wouldn't shut the fuck up because she kept coughing. And I was like, God damn it, I couldn't sleep. And then just something hit me. And while I was sleeping, like basically while I was in bed, I just quickly wrote up the talk in 5 minutes. I was like, okay, this looks good. Next morning, I got up, I cleaned it up a little bit. And then I thought, shit, this is a nice little punchy article, actually. So anyway, I put it together and the whole premise, if no one's read it, it's like literally 5 minutes, is a reminder to think about Bitcoin as a much larger phenomenon than just another financial product or just another way to get rich or make some money. It's not just another fucking fourth turning event, like a cultural phenomenon. It is so much greater. And we've seen echoes of what's happening in society today all throughout history. And we keep repeating the same mistakes. And for me, Bitcoin represents a step change in that process and something that we can stop repeating the same ridiculous cycles that we've had in the past. And yeah, that's what my goal was, to remind people. Remember, this is the 5th of November, the Bitcoin, I think I called it, I don't know, the Bitcoin revolution and plot, you know, and this is hopefully the time where we can actually, you know, we don't have to blow up any buildings. We don't have to do anything like what Guy Fawkes was trying to do in the absence of Bitcoin. We can do it in a way that fixes everything, but empowers everyone along the way. So anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Awesome. No, thanks for the background there too. And Neil, you're on stage right now. Curious what your thoughts between the connection between Bitcoin, Satoshi, and then this kind of story behind the 5th of November, Guy Fawkes, V for Vendetta.
Yeah, I think V for Vendetta is like the perfect movie right now for what we're going through. I remember when it came out around like 2005, 2006, it was right after the US went to war in Iraq, and a lot of the parallels, there were a lot of parallels into the movie about waterboarding prisoners and Patriot Act type stuff. And now we're dealing with a virus. There's a lot of conspiracies behind whether it was manufactured or whether it occurred naturally. But obviously, V for Vendetta, they released the virus to scare people. And not that I'm saying that's exactly what's happening now, but we have governments definitely overreaching and using scare tactics on their citizens. At least that's my perspective. So it's really poignant to, like I said, what we're going through. And Bitcoin enables us to break away from this fear. Whoever controls the money controls the people that rely on that money. And Bitcoin frees us from that. And hopefully it will prevent things like V for Vendetta, dystopian type scenarios from playing out in the future. It feels like right now a lot of us are living through that, depending on where you are in the world. But I really think Bitcoin is going to stop that from happening in the future.
So just to continue this conversation, wait, Stretsky, did you want to react to that?
I was just going to say, it's funny. All these movies almost became, instead of a warning, like they became documentaries, as if the moron parasites like watch them and they're like, you know what, this is a great idea. How about we release a virus and fuck everyone over and then pretend like it wasn't us? Like, it's, I don't know, I just find it hilarious. And it's funny because I always used to call V for Vendetta a documentary. And I remember Nick Carter wrote a couple really brilliant articles a couple years ago. And one of them he wrote, which I think he published on his own blog, and the other one was in the Bitcoin Times edition too. And they both opened with a quote from the movie. And I don't watch shows. I don't watch TV. I haven't had a TV for 20 years at least. I don't do any of that stuff. But movies have always been a big part of my life because I love storytelling. And these ones in particular, and for me, V for Vendetta just holds a special place in my heart. And I know it held a special place for people like Ross Ulbricht as well. Like, it was one of the things every 5th of November, him and the crew on Silk Road would watch that together. And it's a special thing. And it is already well embedded in our culture. When I say our culture, Bitcoin culture. But what we're seeing is elements of those warnings actually playing out around us. And unfortunately, people are still fucking sleeping. So I don't know. Maybe we need to get more people to watch these movies. Like, I know everyone that I hold dear to my heart, I basically forced them to watch V for Vendetta and a series of other movies. Anyway, I don't know if I had a point there, but I just wanted to say that V for Vendetta is not a movie, it's a documentary.
Yeah,
Lauren, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I'd love to add to that. So I think another really interesting aspect of the film is when V goes into the newsroom and he hijacks it and he goes on this 10-minute monologue. And the basis of the monologue is not him necessarily placing blame on the government. He's actually placing blame on the people and saying, you guys need to wake up. Yeah, like, you guys need to wake up. This is in your hands. Like, you guys are sitting around and letting them get away with this. And so to me, that was really interesting. And I think that's also the basis of Bitcoin. Look, it's in our hands. It's our option to opt in. And by doing that, we're taking things into our own hands. So, you know, coming into point with financial literacy, I think most of our world is very financially illiterate, and that's in our hands. And that is our fault. If we can't educate ourselves and look into what's going on, then we are just sitting by and letting things happen. But if we take things into our hands, and that's on us. And I think that's what's so cool about Bitcoin, is that we're finally at a point where we can do something about this. And it's not like these tactics, which are, they say his tactics were very terroristic. Bitcoin is the most peaceful tactic we're ever going to have to fight such a big scale problem. And I think that's what's so special, but it's up to us ultimately.
I like that point too, because this is the world that we're seeing right now, is that these encroachments are coming, right? 2 weeks to slow the spread. And when are the people going to stand up and say enough is enough? If they keep complying, then isn't it on them to some degree? But it is a battle that is up a hill, because we're seeing on Twitter all these videos of protests, but no mainstream coverage of them. It does feel like the chips are stacked against the people to some degree here.
Totally. Yeah, I definitely think so. And it's only going to do so much, but I feel like Bitcoin, it's simple. You just buy Bitcoin, you opt out of the current system, and you opt into one that's for the people. And I think it'll take care of itself. And I think that's what's so cool. And that's how the film ends. Like, he dies, and ultimately the people take over from there. And they have that incredible shot where everybody's in V for Vendetta masks, which is so powerful. And I think that's what the stage that we're in right now with, whether it's, and I don't talk too much, just because I work in film and I'm not working in Bitcoin full time. I don't talk too much about politics and vaccines and masks. It's just not something I'm comfortable with doing for where I'm at career wise. But I think ultimately my beliefs are that Bitcoin is going to fix a lot of these problems in the end. I just focus solely on Bitcoin, and I think Bitcoin's going to work its way out with all these other problems in the world. And yeah, I think this is the best thing. And I think we're at this stage right now. I think if we just keep focusing on this, things will go in a better direction.
And how you said V sacrifices himself at the end. Satoshi, although he didn't necessarily die, we don't know what happened. He did disappear. He said, this is out of my hands. He left it for all of us. And it's the same thing that V did in the movie.
It's the symbolic nature of the act, exactly. So in the same ways, like, Guy Fawkes' act was symbolic, the movie V's act is symbolic. It's the exact same thing here, is that Satoshi's move was symbolic. And I mean, does anyone actually know the first time, I think this would be hard to pinpoint, but when the V for Vendetta meme started being attributed to Satoshi? Does anyone have any insight on that?
So the original issue of the Bitcoin magazine in 2012 has a person holding a sign saying, the corrupt fear us, the honest support us, the heroic join us. And he's wearing like a headscarf and the Guy Fawkes mask. So that may have been the first time, but that may have also just like, it, maybe it was already a thing. I came in 2017. I'm a little late to that. Maybe Mr. Hoddle or some of the OGs
would have
more insight. But definitely in 2012, the connection was already being made in the front cover of the original Bitcoin magazine had the Guy Fawkes mask.
Yeah, it's so fucking iconic. It's just, I don't know. For me, probably the three most relevant films to Bitcoin are probably, Matrix and V for Vendetta are probably the two that stand out, but Fight Club's up there with them as well. So it's just uncanny and unfortunate. Like these days, the kind of dribble we see coming out of fucking Hollywood and film is just, it's a disaster. There's everything is dripping with cringe and...
Cringe or bullshit remake.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. But there's nothing authentic. There's no movies with meaning anymore. It's fucking pathetic.
I agree. I stopped watching movies a few years ago, so maybe I'm just ignorant too if there is any movies with meaning.
Yo, what is going on, plebs? We're going to take a break from our programming to tell you about the resurrection of our print magazine, starting with the El Salvador issue. Starting this fall, Bitcoin Magazine will be available on newsstands nationwide and at retail stores such as Barnes and Noble. Don't want to get off your couch though? No problem. You can also go to store.bitcoinmagazine.com. So skip the line and get each issue shipped directly to your front door with our annual subscription. I'm talking 4 issues a year that contain exclusive interviews and profiles with leading Bitcoiners, actionable insights on the state of the market, breaking news and cultural trends, along with powerful photos and artwork from the best artists in the world. Subscribe today and get 21% off using code podcast at checkout. That's PODCAST podcast at checkout.
We got Alex McShane. We have Clancy. We have Humble Warrior all joining. Clancy, I want to go to you. You are the artist who actually did the art on both of these pieces. I'm curious, what's your impression of the connection between V for Vendetta and Bitcoin?
Hey guys, sorry, I'm at the Apple store right now. It might be loud, but I think it's one of those things that it represents anonymity, obviously, but also I think the symbolism of V being the people, like he never reveals his face. So I think it just is one of those things where it was the perfect alignment of what he represented and the people and Satoshi. It's, you can't go wrong, you know, if that makes sense.
Humble or Alex, you guys want to jump in?
Yeah, I think to me, I read like it's hard for me to say who is and who's not a Bitcoiner. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Pete Rizzo's kind of take on it. And I like the mask because it strips that need to pin an identity on a Bitcoiner. In the end, we're all either pro Bitcoin for each individual moment or kind of acting against it. And like our individual influence, I think, is like orthogonal to Bitcoin's performance. So I do like that, removing the human aspect from Bitcoin through the mask.
That comes back into the symbolic nature of this movie, Satoshi, Bitcoin itself. You can't kill an idea. It also reminds me of just another element of Bitcoin and its transformation of money into information. It's like whenever people ask me about, oh, what if this happens and what if that happens and what if they make Bitcoin illegal? It's like, anyone can do anything and they can hamper it and they might be able to slow it down. Like the internet, for example, is not Bitcoin. Bitcoin is information. The internet is just the information transmission medium. And yes, should the internet fall apart fucking everywhere, it'll be very difficult and practically impossible to send each other Bitcoin around the world live in the way we do now with the internet. But fundamentally speaking, Bitcoin doesn't really stop. I mean, if that happened, we got much bigger problems to worry about because everything else would fucking stop as well. Planes would start falling out of the sky. But it's just like the US government or any power that be, in the same way as they cannot kill an idea, whether it's let's go Brandon or whether it's the number zero, like you can't turn off numbers, like you can't turn off a fucking word, you can't turn off a letter, it's not going to work. You can't just turn off Bitcoin. And that symbolism, I think, is really... I don't know, it permeates Bitcoin's raison d'etre. And it's something I think a lot of people underestimate about Bitcoin and it's just its resilience. Money has become information. It's no longer an object that is either physical or issued by someone who can turn it off and turn it on at will and tell you what to do with it. No one can tell you to stop thinking about the number zero. Like it's not going to fucking happen. So that to me is like the ultimate thing that you can't stop. And the V for Vendetta message is of that ilk. That's what it's telling people.
Yeah, and I love the quote from the movie. It says, beneath this mask, there's more than flesh. Beneath this mask, there's an idea, Mr. Creedy. And ideas are bulletproof.
1,000,000%.
That's why I also love the argument when people say, oh, Bitcoin's a scam. The CIA started it. there's all these arguments going back. All these people claiming to be Satoshi, and he comes out and wants to move his coins. It doesn't matter. The idea has been implanted. The seed has been planted, and it's growing, and you can't stop the signal.
Exactly. It literally, at this point, like, it is its own thing. And basically, I don't know. I believe we're post-hyper-Bitcoinization. It's just materializing. So on a long enough time frame, like, and really ranting about this recently, is like, there's before Bitcoin and after Bitcoin, and we're in the after Bitcoin era. And it's going to be messy for a period, but there is no turning it off now. There is no finishing it. Satoshi can come back. He can dance around. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. And none of it actually fucking matters. Like, Bitcoin's here. The cat's out of the bag. That's actually the name of the article that Nakata wrote for Bitcoin Times edition to it. The cat is out of the bag. And it's basically that idea. It's out. It's in the wild. The idea has already infected the world, and it's not going away. And you can't put that genie back in the bottle.
No, I agree that you can't put the genie out of the bottle, but the genie can be suppressed for a long time, and that can be painful for Bitcoiners. I think what we are all doing here as Bitcoin evangelists and educators is try to spread that message to those who need to hear it as effectively as possible.
Yeah, I think there's a related idea to the genie too, in science especially, of basically humanity altering technologies, and you're basically pulling marbles every time you engineer one of these technologies out of a vessel that they can never go back in. And the beneficial technologies are white marbles, and something like atomic bombs is definitely more of a black marble. It didn't advance humanity at all. So with Bitcoin, I like to think of it as maybe even more like a gray marble, right? This is money for friends and enemies. If we can keep this stuff in the hands of good people, I think it's a net positive for society. But I think there's something to be said for making sure that individuals, as well as big conglomerate businesses and nations, get their chance at adoption and stacking, just so that we can turn this more into a white marble technology.
That's an interesting framing. Something that is... the term creative destruction comes to mind, but something that is fundamentally incompatible with the old is going to be gray in and of itself, because Bitcoin exists independent of the existing financial network and the existing way we measure resources and energy and all of that. It doesn't need any of the old primitives in order to function, but for us to move across onto that, we require a bridge. And it's in the bridge that we get confused about Bitcoin's place in the world, is that we're trying to understand it through existing frameworks and existing analogies and existing metaphors, none of which exactly map Bitcoin to a T, because I don't think any of us can really fathom or appreciate how large an impact Bitcoin is going to have on the human race. And in that intervening period, it may at times seem gray marble, in the sense that it is white infecting the black, I guess. Its very presence diminishes the black, but it makes it look quite messy. So I don't know, that's an interesting rabbit hole.
Who wants to jump in?
Ranting.
So I want to pivot conversation a little bit then. So I think Lauren, Svetsky, maybe even Clancy, you all agree on a handful of movies, right? We mentioned The Matrix, we mentioned Fight Club. I'm sure that there are others that really tie into Bitcoin. Do we want to talk about some of those as well?
Yeah, for sure. Also, like a 300.
Oh, yes. That's another good one. Mm-hmm. That's like The Remnant.
Yeah, I was about to say that. And I personally love the idea of The Remnant. So, Svetsky, we have a recorded space with you going into that in depth, and you wrote a great article on that too.
A couple other ones would be, I did a short thread on The Truman Show, and then I did one on 2001, A Space Odyssey. So those are two others I compared. I've been compiling a list. So if anybody has suggestions, feel free to DM me. I'm going to keep doing some more threads on different films.
I think the films are important, because that's how you can orange pill your friends, is just like, hey, watch this movie. Hey, watch this movie. And that's like something that's very digestible for them.
Totally. I think it's a very simplified way, because I think a lot of people get overwhelmed and they don't understand the narrative and what's going on. So I think if you can compare it to something that's simple and entertaining, I think it's a really great way to get people to just understand the foundation.
It's pretty incredible that The Matrix and V for Vendetta were both by the Wachowski siblings. I don't know what you're supposed to call them now, but that they are responsible really for those two masterpieces. A lot of people don't realize that V for Vendetta, the character, is Agent Smith, the same actor in The Matrix. So there's a lot of crossover.
Such a good actor. Yeah, he's such a good actor. He's also, they've got a third movie, Cloud Atlas, which is incredible too. And it's, he's, what's the guy's fucking name again? Something Weaver, Hugo Weaver.
Yeah.
Hugo was such a fucking good actor. And he's in Cloud Atlas as well, which is an incredible, incredible movie.
I saw a video last night talking about how the Terminator was supposedly like the prequel to the Matrix. There's some connection there. Have y'all heard that?
No, I heard a story that The Matrix was written by somebody else and that the Wachowski stole it or some shit, blah, blah, blah. But that's, I don't know how much truth there was to that. Whatever the case is, like what they brought to life was incredible. There is one thing I will caution with the two movies is that whilst they're very correct, like when they were made, the fear was that the world would slip into more of, we were off the back of looking at the fascist type authoritarian regime, the 1948 type authoritarian regime, as being the thing that we must all genuinely be wary of. But what it did was, I think it made a lot of us wary of that. But in some ways, it left the door open for the more insidious Brave New World type utopian dystopia to manifest. And a lot of that is what we're seeing in the world today is like, I don't know, it's just the messaging wasn't as refined in that sense. Like there was a bit of a maybe anti-capitalist kind of thing about it, which is expected when you see what the Wachowski siblings transformed into. I'm a little bit afraid of what the fourth Matrix is going to be, like if it's going to be some fucking horseshit politically correct junk, and I'm hoping to God it's not, but let's see. It was extraordinarily important at the time, and despite the small issue that it had with a little bit of the commie leaningness, I think what we as Bitcoiners do, we interpret the nuance of what is meant in it appropriately. In fact, there is an audiobook of V for Vendetta, which is the screenplay / movie turned into an audiobook. And that has a little bit more detail than the movie. And I've listened to that. And that is actually a little bit more anarcho-capitalist. Like it's actually fucking spot on. It's really good.
I think it's really interesting when you, I don't know, people listening, how long you've been orange-pilled or if you're in the process of it. But it's really interesting watching these movies or have seen these movies before you've discovered Bitcoin and then watching them after you discovered Bitcoin and how much you realize it shifts your perspective on the world and understanding of these things that they're and these concepts they're talking about. Like even there was even a movie we were watching the other day. It wasn't necessarily one of these movies that we're talking about, but I think it was like The Bourne Identity, something to do with the tech. But even just these movies that everyone knows and you watch and you think, oh, that's interesting. And then once you get orange-pilled and understand the technology and the idea and the mind virus and what it can do, it's really interesting watching movies after you've been orange-pilled.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I haven't watched Bourne Identity and things like that for a long time. That was also one of my favorite movies when I was growing up. It'll be interesting to go back and watch that one particularly. And the first one was a really special movie in my heart. I was at a funny stage in life. And yeah.
Even just little things when you watch these movies, like the technical things when he has and the Bourne Identities, obviously he has a bunch of identities and all the different passports and he's crossing borders and he's having to deal with hiding cash everywhere. Even like the ideas, but even these little things, like you're like, that's pointless. Cash is such trash. Why would you even have to worry about this? It goes across the spectrum from these small little details to
Brian Troll says that The Big Lebowski is about Bitcoin. I actually don't really watch any movies. I have watched all the movies we've discussed so far, but I have not watched The Big Lebowski. If there's a movie, most likely I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched that either. It's been on my fucking watch list for years, and it's just been sitting there, and I just, particularly over the last 2 years, I haven't really had time to watch much movies. But all right, hearing that, I will add that fucking to the list.
Anyone else concur that The Big Lebowski is about Bitcoin?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
not.
Yeah, it's definitely about
What's the premise of the movie? McShane, can you tell us what it's about?
Maybe about Bitcoiners, but not Bitcoin.
It came out in 1998, so it's definitely
golden era?
About, yeah, it's about Bitcoin in the way that all things are about Bitcoin once you get into it. It's basically, it's like a guy is getting chased by debt collectors. He gets, I think, mistaken for a millionaire, and he's a bowler and has a bunch of loser bowler friends, and they try to, I think, find a millionaire's missing wife, but I haven't seen it in several years. Very funny movie, if I remember.
Maybe Shinobi is just trolling us to throw a wrench into the conversation.
I think like when you get into especially any kind of like book or film analysis, like you can put whatever lens you want on it. So someone who knows it intimately could definitely spin it into a Bitcoin article. Maybe Shinobi should do that for us.
Shinobi, focus on something else, man. I guess, where were we? I apologize for misdirecting. Gaza, you're on stage too. I don't know if you want to jump in at all.
Hey, thanks for inviting me up. I just joined 1 or 2 minutes ago. I'm not sure what other movies you guys have covered.
Mostly just V for Vendetta. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that one.
Yeah, I actually relate a lot more to that one than The Matrix, but that's probably because I didn't see The Matrix for the first time until recently, and I just didn't like it.
No, we're going to cancel you, Guzla. Not liking The Matrix is a fucking punishable offense. That's like a, you're dead.
Have y'all seen the new remake of Dune?
That was on HBO? I thought it was on the cinemas.
Also on HBO.
I don't know what that is. And yes. But yeah.
Okay, I just watched the new movie. And I thought it was fucking fantastic.
I thought it was awesome. And the conversation.
The first good movie in a while.
Yeah. The conversation about like when people start talking about Bitcoin being a cross-galaxy currency, it makes you think about it in there too.
Possibly. I've got a beef with a lot of sci-fi. I think a lot of sci-fi is completely fucked up because it never took into account the existence of something like Bitcoin. That's what all sci-fi is missing. Like, for us to become an interplanetary species, we first have to clean up our own room, and we have to actually master energy. We have to master our environment. We have to master the Earth. Otherwise, all we're doing is exporting our stupidity elsewhere. And in the process of exporting our stupidity elsewhere, we'll fucking blow ourselves up. Like, literally, we can't, on a habitable planet with oxygen, first and foremost, and water and everything else, we can't manage to fucking feed people. We think we're going to go out and fucking colonize space with our fiat fucking brains. So until we fix that stuff, like, all the sci-fi shit goes out the window. And I think in the process of fixing all of that, and I've got a theory like about Bitcoin transforming humanity in an organic evolutionary way. So whilst the fiat heads and all the globalist parasitic scammers want to transform us by injecting us with shit or like turning us basically into dumb sheep and evolving us by plugging our fucking brains into the power socket and ramming Ethernet cables up our assholes so that we can all be connected on the metaverse, I think what will happen is Bitcoin will transform us in a different way, which is by aligning behavior and reintroducing consequence into behavior, I think our DNA will start to evolve to adapt towards moral behavior, and private property and morality will start to embed itself in us over generations in the same way as it did with things like lions. So lions, for example, are majestic in nature. They don't go and fucking eat everything on the first or second day. Like, they have respect for territory. They have respect for what they do because they've evolved like that over hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years. Whereas we haven't had that chance to catch up to embody majesty and embody the better, more moral, natural elements of our behavior because of the way we can think about things more abstractly. We have a more complex mind and we can create more complex societies. So we've actually got to walk a longer path in that sense. But Bitcoin will enable natural order and morality to start to bake into our behavior. And I think that is an evolution. And that evolution itself will mean that when we go out into the unknown, we'll do it from not only a much stronger foundation and a richer foundation and from a world that we've been able to master energy on, we'll do it in a way that we export intelligence, not fucking stupidity, which is what we would be most likely exporting now if we go to fucking Mars tomorrow. We'll just blow ourselves up really quickly. So anyway, that's my thoughts on it. I think sci-fi is completely broken. And hopefully the piece that I'm doing for Bitcoin Magazine very shortly and the piece I'm doing for Bitcoin Times about fire Bitcoin teleportation will inspire a new wave of sci-fi that thinks about it through the lens of Bitcoin.
I'm wondering how it's an interesting premise. Like, at the most basic level, genes promote their own production and inhibit their destruction, like regardless of the will of the larger creature. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, at the very least, Bitcoin, like, I think we might self-select for more collaborative behaviors in a way that wasn't possible or that wouldn't be genetically obvious before we had a sound store of value and something to trade with. I'm not a chemist or a biologist. I don't know what that looks like. down to an atomic level, but it makes sense to me that Bitcoin would promote people just collaborating on a small scale and that just becoming embedded in our society on a greater scale, and that being a much stronger foundation and measure for things like a decentralized research and then scientific process.
Totally. Behavior ties into this idea of memes, because in a sense, behavior at scale is a meme. It's an anthropological or anthropospheric meme. And if Bitcoin starts to realign behavior around collaboration and competition in the upward sense, like there's a word, there's distress and eustress means like making you stronger. So you competition, let's call it that. It's a prefix to the positive version of competition instead of the destructive sense where we steal from each other. I think over time, that kind of behavior starts to bake into us. And I don't know, there's a case for it. I drew up an image in one of my weird like nighttime fucking sweats where I wake up and pull out my iPad and draw something. And I think I called it Corpus something Bitcoinicus. And it's like looking at human evolution and the evolution of man through the lens of Bitcoin realigning incentives such that morality or moral behavior at the locus of everything we do, and what ramifications that has long term on humanity, I don't know. But honestly, that's how we end up becoming interplanetary, not by being fucking retards who are printing money. So anyway, I really think that all of the notions of sci-fi and the way we envision reaching out for space need to be rethought, reimagined, all through the lens of what Bitcoin does to society and does to the individual in particular.
My fellow plebs, the Bitcoin conference is back. Bitcoin 2022, April 6th through the 9th, is the ultimate pilgrimage for the Bitcoin ecosystem. The Bitcoin conference is the biggest event in all of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. We're leveling up and making this bigger and better than ever. I'm talking straight to the moon with the 4-day long festival in the heart of Miami at the Miami Beach Convention Center. This has something for everyone. Whether you're a high-powered Bitcoin entrepreneur, a core developer, or a Bitcoin newbie, Bitcoin 2022 is the ultimate place for you to be with your people and celebrate and learn about the Bitcoin culture. So make sure to go to b.tc/conference to lock in your official tickets and use promo code Satoshi for 10% off. Want more off? Pay in Bitcoin and you'll receive $100 off general admission and $1,000 off whale pass. Those are stackable. So go to b.tc/conference and attend the best conference in Bitcoin history. Yo, my fellow Bitcoin lovers, have I got something specifically curated for you? The Deep Dive is Bitcoin Magazine's premium markets intelligence newsletter. This isn't some paid group shilling buy and sell signals. No, this is a premium Bitcoin analysis led by Dylan LeClaire and his team of analysts. They break down in an easily digestible way what is happening on chain, in the derivatives markets, and in the greater macro backdrop context for Bitcoin. This newsletter turns volatility into a joke. So hit up members.bitcoin.magazine.com and use promo code podcast for 30% off the Deep Dive. That's members.bitcoinmagazine.com, promo code podcast for 30% off. Divorce your pay group and learn why Bitcoin is the strongest asset by Dylan and LeClaire and his team.
I think that there's not a lot of sci-fi that predicts digital hard cash with Austrian economics baked into it. That's definitely just a core building block to human action that I think is really important to take into account moving forward. I do like this idea of we can't conquer beyond Earth unless we master Earth. I think that is extremely true. And the fiat system has really taken us very far away from mastering Earth. If anything, we're just fucking it up.
Yeah, we are. Exactly. So this is the idea of the Great Filter, which is the name of the piece. Is like Bitcoin is humanity's last hope. It's our pathway through the Great Filter. Is if we don't do that, we have four outcomes. Some dickhead pushes the red button, blows us all up. Some asteroid fucking whacks us before we have the technological prowess and capacity to do something about it. So we're just like sitting ducks. We either create some sort of artificial intelligence that views our behavior as completely moronic and as a result just makes us obsolete. Or we, in our attempt to build some sort of sanitized, sterile, conformist utopia, we transform the world into one big technocratic gulag. So that's the four options we have outside of Bitcoin. So it's like, it's Bitcoin or that.
I can speak on this a little. I've written about these risks pretty extensively. There's basically four ways to look at it. Like you said, the categories that I would put them in are internal anthropogenic risks. What that means is just like a human-centric, like we build the atomic bomb, we detonate the atomic bomb, we fuck ourselves. Like there's external anthropogenic risk, which is like a very low probability event. That's we send out a communication, it's received by another force, they come back and destroy us, right? That's not going to happen. There's external non-anthropogenic risks, which is something you can't really prevent at this stage, like an asteroid. And then there are internal anthropogenic risk, which is something like a supermassive volcanic eruption. There are plenty of these, just the weather could do us in, really. So the way I see it, Bitcoin has the best hope for helping us alleviate all of these risks and plan for them in the future. The one that I'm particularly interested in would be the internal anthropogenic risk of us spawning artificial or machine intelligence. Like before Bitcoin, there was no way to instill values in machines, or, and there might still not be, but I think our best hope at value accretion for machine intelligence is Bitcoin, right? You wouldn't want to instill like a fiat mindset in a machine. You wouldn't want to code US dollars in a machine, but a scarce asset like Bitcoin, you could absolutely program goals. And the reason goal programming is important is to keep and guide the behavior of the machine intelligence, because otherwise you run into, like Svetsky said, these like unexpected outcomes where you ask it to find it you water and it just vaporizes you. And you didn't account for that, but you're like 90% water. So there's your water. There's like a lot of dangers to the paths that we can approach. But I think Bitcoin, we're fortunate enough to find that before making true machine intelligence. So I think it might save us.
Totally. Think about it as a kid, right? So it's like when you have babies or even a pet, like the pet looks at the owner's behavior and then its behavior emerges from that. So if our behavior is still, if we still have fiat behavior, we're going to have fiat AI. Let's maybe look at it through that sense. And if we've got Bitcoin behavior, sound behavior, moral behavior, we're going to end up with an AI that is moral, sound, and intelligent. And, or at least maybe it is moral, sound, intelligent either way. But if we're still a bunch of fiat retards, then it just makes us fucking obsolete. So, in a bid to clean everything up. So either way, we need to fix ourselves. We need to clean up our room before we go on building other shit and conquering the unknown. Because at the moment, we're basically like a two-year-old kid in our psychological collective development. And all we're doing is every time something happens, we throw a fucking tantrum and we don't actually fix anything at the core.
Can I ask Svetsky for a distinction there? Are you saying that it's unwise to pursue interplanetary expansion until we've taken care of our shit down here, or that we will not be able to achieve it?
I think
those are different things.
Yeah. I think it's fundamentally unwise. I also don't think we'll achieve it in any sustainable capacity. So for example, we might be able to do a moonshot and get a bunch of people to Mars, but I guarantee either them or something along the way is going to blow up and break or die or something like that. Whatever we do, now it may not happen on the first trip or the second trip or any of that sort of stuff, but if we bring the broken values that we have in society today, we'll bring that behavior with us and it will fundamentally fail as well because of that incessant fiat mindset or stupidity. But where I would say is like the other thing about mastering and cleaning our own room is not just the moral premise, but it's also the functional premise is that like if we actually have a world in which we have, let's say, a million cities that are all decentralized and we have this diverse culture and this competition towards building better stuff, what we're going to end up with is much better technology, much better use of resources, much better methods of extracting energy. And we can actually export that. So not just exporting a better moral compass, but exporting a higher degree of technological prowess to wherever we decide to colonize and travel to. So we actually get a double whammy out of it. So yeah, we may make by the skin of our teeth fucking like a retarded goat climbing backwards up a mountain. It could get there, but we could get there in a much better fashion.
So, hey.
Yeah, can you imagine?
No, we just only got 7 more minutes. Wicked, want to let you get your comment in, and then I want to switch over just to last words to close it out. Sorry, Alex.
That's all right, man.
All right, I was actually going to ask you guys, can you imagine a future where maybe we don't need Bitcoin anymore? So let me explain myself quickly. I'm thinking like if we crack nuclear fusion, for example, and let's say Bitcoin leads us here because technologically we advance so much. So we crack nuclear fusion, we have unlimited free energy, and now we basically have the means to provide anything and everything that anyone would want on the world, thereby making money obsolete. So I was wondering, do you guys ever think about this possible scenario?
Doesn't make money obsolete. Yeah, totally. That in no way makes money obsolete. It actually makes money even more important. At all times, whether energy is abundant or not, the reality of the world that we're living in is, whilst energy may be abundant, we use up as much of it as possible when we're doing things. So fundamentally, you have abundant energy, but not unlimited energy. That doesn't exist. So you've got that constraint. You have then resource constraints. Resources are unevenly distributed around the world. Then you have the fact that time is also a constraint. And then you have the temporal forward-moving nature of time. So it's the time is a vector. It's not a dimension. So within that framework, the only way to manage oneself in that framework and to manage a complex society, which is comprised of individuals with different subjective wants. So like you have this intersubjective reality. The only way to manage that is money. Money is the tool. So you have to codify energy, time, money, resources, and intersubjective value some way. So money in no way doesn't exist. The only time money will no longer exist is when the universe extinguishes itself. So that's like,
yeah, and I would just second Svetsky here and just say that there is no evolution for humanity that obsoletes money. And money has been critical to us getting here. Money solves the way that we measure value, communicate value, store value. And the better money that we have, the better that we can do that. So money is almost like communication. So it's like, hey, Apple, when are we going to get beyond language? When are we going to get beyond communicating value? We're not. Like, that's how we continue to move forward. So it doesn't matter if we have unlimited energy.
So let me frame this one other way just to get you guys thinking maybe in another way. If aliens came here from another star system, do you really think that they would still be using money?
Yeah, aliens would have their own version of Bitcoin. So aliens would have their own iteration of energy money, and its architecture would most likely look very similar to what Bitcoin is. It'd be using math and the law of large numbers to merge the metaphysical idea of money with physical reality. So in order for intelligent sentient species to become intergalactic, the discovery of energy money is a prerequisite. That's my thesis.
All right, y'all. Thanks for the cosmic ideas. I want to wrap this one. I'm just going to let Lauren and Alex close it out and tail back into their individual thoughts around Guy Fawkes, V for Vendetta, 5th of November, all that good stuff. Lauren, why don't you start? Svetsky, close this out.
Yeah, Svetsky, I read your article, and I think a big point that Alex and I both made was Bitcoin is truth, and Satoshi, his identity does not matter. We're all Satoshi. We're all V. We're all here to opt into this network for the people, and it's our responsibility. I think that's a major point that I made, is that we have to take it upon ourselves to change the world we live in, and Bitcoin is that opportunity. I'd say that's my main point with my article, and I think after reading Svetsky's, that was a big point he made, is that we're here for truth, and that's for us to take control of.
Yeah, I'd say whilst the V for Vendetta thing is important, V for Vendetta is the documentary that warns us about how we get into the situation that we are today, where we're facing what's called the Great Reset. So Bitcoin gets us through something like that, but more importantly, it gets us through the Great Filter, which is the more cosmic brain idea. And both are related, because on the path to getting through the Great Filter, one of the challenges that we need to cross is make obsoleting ourselves through some sort of technocratic attempt at transforming our world into a utopian fucking gulag. So Bitcoin gets us through that element of the membrane, but pushes us far further beyond. So this is still very early days. And whilst we need to view Bitcoin as that thing that gets us through the quote unquote Great Reset, the big picture is coming out the other end of the Great Filter. So I would implore everybody to follow Bitcoin Magazine. They're going to announce something in the coming weeks, I believe, which is going to be super fucking cosmic. And there'll be a piece in there from me that really doubles down on this point about Bitcoin being the tool through the Great Filter. So think big.
Boom. Love it. Love to get Cosmic and Bitcoin. And yes, we will be dropping some interesting news soon. But until then, Bitcoin 2022, want to give out a shout out to Neil and his promo code. I believe it is promo code FOMO. That gets you 10% off. If you spend with Bitcoin and you buy your ticket with Bitcoin, you also save an additional $100 off GA, $1,000 off of Whale Pass. So you can stack those promos, promo code FOMO, as well as using Bitcoin to maximize your savings. Come to Bitcoin 2022, meet all your favorite Bitcoiners in person. And yeah, see you next time, guys. Peace.
Thanks, guys. Adios.